Let's turn to Paul's letter to the Galatians, shall we? If you have your Bibles, we need to go to Galatians chapter 4 from verse 21. Paul writes, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai, and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, 'Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband.' Now, you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the Scripture say? 'Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son.' Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Well, thank you very much for your invitation to come and share with you this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to come somewhere different. It's always a very risky thing for you to do, of course, to invite someone you don't know. I don't know who's braver, yourselves or me. You look all very friendly. I think you're the braver ones. as John was saying earlier on, I'm pastor at Rainbow Hill Baptist Church in Worcester. Okay, it's only sort of 12, 13 miles along the road. But we don't necessarily know each other very well at all. In fact, I don't know you at all. I know Ed and Sarah, but that's about it. I know John, and who did I speak to on the phone this week? So just know a few of you now, but it's good to get to know each other this morning. How do I describe Rainbow Hill Church to you? I think the little phrase that we've used recently is a small church with a big heart and a big vision. You see, we're a little under 30 members, and we've been like that for a long, long time. In some senses, we're a new church because we were only established formally in the early 1990s. Although for over a century before that, we were a mission chapel, Sunday school, associated with Worcester Central Baptist Church at Sandstone Walk. So people have been around in the Rainbow Hill area of Worcester, worshipping and serving God for a long time. But a few years back, the church community sensed the call of God to refocus upon the vision that God had given to us to be serving our local community. And looking around and about them, and this is before I came to be their pastor, they saw that their resources were quite limited. The building was in a sort of a bit of a dilapidated state. There was a sort of an outhouse sort of tacked on the back with a kitchen that wouldn't satisfy the local health inspectors, and drafty, cold, damp toilets that you really crossed your legs and went home. So things needed desperately to be done. There was very little provision for disability needs and so on. Things desperately needed to be done. And so in association with the Heart of England Baptist Association and Bristol Baptist College, and with assistance from Baptist Home Mission, the church set about to do something about it. And it's an exciting stage in the church's life now, because I was called about 3 years ago, and just a couple of weeks ago, we formally opened a new extension. God has so generously provided resources in so many different ways to allow that extension to be completed. And we've got a nice big new modern kitchen and toilets and a nice big hall, which is fresh and open and welcoming to the local community. So not only will we be able to use the building for our own focused church mission activity, but also we're able to allow and encourage indeed the community around us to use it as a center. In fact, what we've done is to rename the building. We deliberately called it the Rainbow Hill Center. And then call it, it's the home of Rainbow Hill Baptist Church. Just to say, look, the church is not the building. The building is here for you in the local community. But it's our home, and we're opening our doors to you. So that's a little bit about what I'm doing and about the church at Rainbow Hill. And we do value your prayers and your encouragement and your love as time goes by. But that's not all I do, because I did mention about the partnership the church has with the local Baptist Association and the Baptist College in Bristol. So as pastor at Rainbow Hill, I'm just there for two-thirds of my time. So I do work with the association as training networker and as a community tutor for the Baptist College in Bristol. And so as well as the bringing greetings from Rainbow Hill this morning, I also bring greetings from the Baptist College in Bristol. They've just come to the end of the academic year. It's been an exciting academic year with a new principal and a new tutor in worship. And we've just had interview days the last few weeks for those people who God has been calling into service and ministry and training for the next year. So it's a really exciting time. And again, for the college community, we value your prayers too. But also to say that through the college and through the association and through our churches together, we are able to provide and resource training as needs arise. So for those who are lay preaching, for those who want encouragement in their discipleship in a sort of deeper way, and wanting to learn through college and in other ways, there are resources available, and there are modules and courses available. So I'm sort of the person in the area to come to sort of see about those sorts of things. So if God's sort of saying to you, what can I want to learn more, or I think God might be sort of calling me in some area of mission or ministry, and you perhaps want to sort of chat it over or pray with someone outside your own local setting, well, I'm someone you can come to if that's the way that the Lord's leading you. Let's focus on our theme for this morning, which is that of freedom. Now, a few months ago, we did celebrate, didn't we, the 200th anniversary of the legislation that in the end brought to an end this transatlantic slave trade. And this is a significant thing. And it was good that we celebrated it. And It's good that we don't just let it be a couple of months ago, and we don't just let it be our viewing of the film. Was it Amazing Grace, wasn't it, the film? We don't let it be a memory. But as we were encouraged at the time to remember that in our society, in our world today, there's slavery of all sorts it's a growing sadness, a growing challenge, even as I think of some of the situations that we pray about and we read about, and that those who are working with people in various exploitative situations, whether it be the sex industry, whether it be in agriculture, and in so many other ways, you know, the words just disappear, don't they? The words just disappear. It's just such a growing problem for so many, many people. And we need to be engaged. And we need to be concerned. But this morning, I want us to remind us of that, but I want us to take the subject of freedom in a slightly different direction. And I could start by saying, as Baptist Christians, we have a heritage and a history of striving for freedom. At the time of our origins as Baptist churches in the 17th century, it was a time when it was illegal to be a free Christian, free from the established church. Our Baptist ancestors took enormous risks to life and limb, quite literally, sacrificially working and praying towards the freedoms that we enjoy today. Right from the start, early Baptists argued for freedom. One of the early Baptist pastors, Thomas Helwys, wrote in a book called A Mystery of Iniquity about how all in Christ were free, and how whether it be bishops or kings, they had no right to dictate what ordinary people should believe. He went as far as to say that all religions and faiths had equal right and freedom under God. And so freedom of will, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion have always been part of our heritage. Freedom's a big and a significant thing. But I don't really want to go down that route either, although I could. I want us to focus more personally. I want us to take a few more risks than just to focus outside on other people or our history. I want us to just think about what freedom means for us. It's very easy sometimes to sort of look at other people and to think about other people's situations. What about me? What about you? What does freedom mean for us? And so I guess I want to start at the very beginning with a confession. And I want to continue for a little while with a more personal reflection on what freedom means for me, in hope and prayer that this will be of some help, some assistance, as together we reflect on what freedom is truly all about. The confession is this: that I know I don't experience fully the freedom I know I have. And yet I crave to experience fully that freedom I read about, that freedom I sing about, that freedom I know about, but know I'm yet to fully experience. You with me? We know we're free, and there's a big capital letter but with an underlined in italics that we sort of tuck away somewhere. Okay, it's about our faith and the reality of our experience coming together. That's my confession. I know I don't fully experience it. And sometimes I crave to experience that freedom so much that I want to break out into song. And the psalmist does that. I mean, when you read through the Psalms, time and time again, it's, I want to be free. I want to be free from the pressures upon me, from the people who are at me all the time, from this sense that I'm nothing, from all the responsibilities, even from life itself at times. I noted down here in my notes that I don't mean the sort of song that we might have heard from Queen decades ago. No, I want to break free. Although it expresses that same heart, that same emotion, the sense that the chains actually that we pray that will be released from others are actually bearing on us, are actually bearing us down, are actually stopping us from being the people that God has made us to be. Again, that's another prayer of Paul's for us, for his church, that we might fully be the people that God has created us to be. And yet there are things that enslave us, things that stop us. I've also noted down in my notes here, Psalm 55. You know Psalm 55? It's the oath for the wings of a dove psalm. listen to this. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Things have got so bad around and about me. Even living with myself is now so bad. I just want to go away. I want to fly away like a dove. Of course, that psalm, it sounds nothing like it, doesn't it, when it's set to music. Oh, for the wings, for the wings. Of course, you don't get that first bit, do you? You don't get the context. You don't get the turmoil and the travail going on inside. Oh, for the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. But the reality for the psalmist, of course, that God doesn't let him escape. And the reality for us is that we have to live lives as they are. We're not at liberty to escape. Our freedom is to live where we are. Our freedom is to become who we are, where we are. Our freedom is to be transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ, who took the difficult road against all the expectations and pressures around him, the road to the cross, who gave his all, who did not cling on, as Paul says, to that quality that was his with God, but became a servant and humbled himself. And became more than a slave for death. And yet God, we can carry on with those verses, can't we? That Psalm 55 is actually about escapism. It's about a longing, a desire to escape, rather than to be truly, truly free in the present situation, in the present moment, in the reality of life as it is. Perhaps the sort of freedom I crave is more the freedom that Isaiah expresses in chapter 40, Isaiah 40, verse 31. As he muses on the nature of God and the vastness of God and how God's care for people cannot be measured or numbered, or accounted for. He goes on to reflect, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Have you seen the sort of birds of prey up on the thermals? With that sense of vision, that sense of perspective, that sense of freedom. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When I picture that image of the eagle riding the thermals with height and perspective in its grasp, I think of freedom, perfect freedom. And as we've been reminded by Paul, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That ought really to be a memory verse for today, didn't it, really? The first part of Galatians 5:1. Repeat it after me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let's say it again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. How I long to be able to fully hold on to and live in that freedom that puts all the challenges and responsibilities of real life in their proper place, where we live as their master and not as their slave. How I long to soar on wings like eagles. How I long to be free. In recent months, God has granted me a very precious experience of someone living in this sort of freedom. I hope you'll excuse me if I talk about my mother just for a few moments. Particularly when I tell you that she died just before Christmas. At far too young an age, taken away by a terrible cancer that had only fairly recently been diagnosed. Now, I know it's not just through the rose-tinted spectacles of recent and continuing grief that I tell you that my mother was a remarkable Christian woman, whose whole life, and especially whose last days, her last hours, her last minutes, demonstrated that freedom that she had in Christ that enabled her to rise above all the temporary suffering and anguish that was hers and the pain that she was experiencing and that she knew we were all experiencing around her too. She remarked as I visited her in hospital in Swindon, sitting on the upper floor of the hospital, admiring the views of the Wiltshire Downs, just over the lip of the hill her father had been born, and so this was an area she knew well. She commented that this time in hospital, which was just a few weeks long, had been an amazing experience, an amazing opportunity. She commented that in her life she had never ever been on a retreat. Now, I'd been on retreats, and I'd come back and told her about them, and she'd heard of other people going on retreats, and she'd never had the opportunity to go on a retreat. And as I was sat there in the window, we were looking at the view, she was saying just how much like a retreat it had really been. She spent hours just with her and a chair and the Bible and God and the irritation of needles being stuck into her and things happening to her. Interrupting, in a sense, that time with God. She'd often wanted to go on retreat, but she'd had this moment now, towards the end of her life, to spend time reflecting with God, meditating in Scripture and in prayer. In just a few weeks, she had nearly 100 visitors, each of whose names she wrote down. And she was writing them down to make sure that we personally thanked everyone afterwards, which we've been doing. And each of those people have remarked on the serenity and peace which she had, which ministered even to them as they were in her presence, of the love and the tenderness of God. She lived in that freedom in Christ which transcended those days of pain and disease, which were also hers. It was that freedom that enabled her last moments to be something I shall never forget for as long as I live. And if I'm reading my Bible correctly, I think that's for eternity. As with her family around her bedside, just a few hours before she went to be with the Lord, she gathered us together to come close so she could speak to us. She wanted to tell us of God's love for us and God's love for the world. Her words are engraved on my memory. I'm going on a journey, she said. I don't know where I am on that journey yet, but I know where I'm going. And I want you to know too, she said. And I want you to go on telling those children that we have a God who loves you far, far more than I ever could. And that's the last thing she said to us. And so I'm telling you, because by those children, she didn't just mean her grandchildren. She just didn't mean us. She meant all those who we could tell, those children of God. She spent her lifetime saying and demonstrating and showing those very things. So I'm telling you, I want you to know it too, that we have a God who loves us far more than we can ever love or we can ever know. And the God who loves us so very much has given us a gift, which is the greatest gift of all, the most precious of gifts. And this gift is summed up in that little seven-letter word. Freedom. If you ever tried to sum up the gospel in a sentence, it's difficult. You tend to go for John 3:16 and 17. What about summing up the gospel in a word? Well, the closest I can come to is freedom. Oh, you might say, well, it's forgiveness. But actually, it's so much more as well. And freedom, of course, is that forgiveness from sin and for the consequences of sin. It's so much more. Freedom is about what's gone behind and how we are now and what's ahead and how we live our life. Freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And on the surface, that's a truism. You know, Christ set us free, so we must be free. And if it was for freedom that Christ set us free, then it seems like a meaningless phrase. But no, it's packed with the most significance of all. If we have been set free by Christ, then it's so that we can be free, so that we can live free, so that we can experience freedom, so that we can know freedom, so that we can talk about freedom, so that we can share freedom, so we can let other people free too. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's so profound, so basic, and yet so complex, so easy, yet so difficult. So true, yet why doesn't it feel like it? It's a freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from death, freedom from punishment, freedom from anxiety and turmoil, freedom from bondage and slavery to all sorts of things. Temptation and habit and routine and drudgery. Freedom from relationships that we've messed up and need to begin again in. Freedom from approaching the work that we do and the tasks that we have in ways that place us in bondage and oppression and depression. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom to live. Freedom to grow. Freedom to thrive. Freedom to bear fruit. Freedom to enjoy. Freedom to fly. Freedom, a most precious gift. And it's central to who we are. And yet we feel we cannot live as free people. I'm not the only one experiencing this, am I? I'm not the only one who thinks this way or feels this way. You see, a huge part of our brokenness as human beings is our tendency towards control and security and setting in place rules and regulations and then wanting other people to do things our way and feeling that we're always having to fulfill other people's expectations. Our social and business lives are built around contracts and agreements based on mistrust rather than on trust, upon restriction and expectation rather than upon creativity. And the use of our God-given gifts in relationship with each other in freedom. Our word is often not our word. And even within the church, when we live and talk as political active adversaries rather than brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's highly significant therefore, that Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And he sets this at the heart of a discussion in Galatians 4 and 5 about the law and living under law or living under grace, living under restriction and condemnation or living under the loving mercy and forgiveness and graciousness and provision and freedom of God. Which one is it that we're going to live and know and experience? I wish I were brave. I wish I were brave like the Wilberforces of 200 years ago, or like many of the campaigners. I wish I had the nerve to go out in an inflatable and be mowed down by a Navy vessel standing up for someone else's freedom. But I think that's easy compared to the bravery I pray for and crave each day. Those small and more significant things in the life that I have where I am now. Sometimes it's easier to do the big things than actually to look inside and do those small things. I need to recognize how I enslave others, how I prevent them from being free. Have I been bullied? Am I a bully? What are those habits? What are those behaviors? What are those ways that I am, where that I do things that I need to say, Lord, help me to change. Help me to be different. Lord, by your Spirit, reflect your heart and your love and your being through me. We enslave others, we enslave ourselves. The worst expectations that we can have are our own expectations. Often we find they're far worse than other people's for us, rather than being free. What's our memory verse? Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So this morning, perhaps it's time to say no more often in our lives. Perhaps it's time, for those of us who know is the constant theme, to say yes more often in our lives to those things that are good, those things which are liberating, those things which promote growth and encouragement and set others and allow us to live freely too. Perhaps now is a time to give someone else a break. Perhaps now is the time to cut ourselves some slack. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul writes in Galatians 3, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. And to the church at Ephesus, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And as Paul concludes to the church at Galatia, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. This is in verse 13. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. It is what so often I do and so often we do. Rather, serve one another in love. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to hear that it is for freedom that you have set us free. Help us to live that freedom. Help us to promote that freedom. Help us, by your Spirit, to set others free too. And help us not to just pray this and believe this and think this, but to take those steps, to talk to those people we need to talk to seek the practical help we may need to seek, to reach out a hand to forgive the one we need to forgive, to open the door of our hearts to the ones we've been shutting out. Thank you so much for the freedom you have given to us. Help us to live it for your sake. Amen.